We're up to Torah Kuf Beis in Likutei Moran Tanina. In our Likutei Morans, it's page 98, the right-hand column, the first paragraph on the page. Again, these chapters in Likutei Moran that we're learning now are generally short in nature, and it's Rav Nosson Zal speaking mostly about different shiurim that Rabbeinu Zal had given and related subjects. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, Pam Echod Bo Sielov Zal, one time I came to Rabbeinu Zal, v'siperli, and he told me, sheze besomuch ha'oyo etzloi rov echod, that recently there was a rabbi that came to visit him, v'diber imoy, and Rabbeinu Zal said that he had spoken to this rabbi, v'omar lefonov Torah, haynu sh'Rabbeinu Zal omar lefnei horav hanal Torah. Rabbeinu Zal said that he gave a shir to this rabbi. He said, divrei Torah, chidushei Torah tim. Rav Nosson Zal writes, I did not have the privilege that Rabbeinu Zal should review the shir that he gave to that rabbi to me. Rak, however, elu hadiburim shamati mipiv hakodesh. These words, the following words, I did hear from Rabbeinu Zal's mouth. Shesiperli, Rabbeinu Zal told me, sheomar oz miinyan boyaz verus. Rabbeinu Zal said that he was discussing with this rabbi the subject of boyaz and rus. Sheboyaz verus heim soid smichas geula letfilo. That boyaz and rus represent a concept that's mentioned in the Gemara in Brochos, where the Gemara discusses the importance of saying the bracha of Goal Yisroel right next to Shmon Esrei. There's a special significance that there should not be anything separating between the bracha Goal Yisrael and the beginning of the Tefillah. We know that the word Tefillah, when it's used in the Gemara Stam, it usually refers to Shmon Esrei. So it's a matter of uniting Geula and Tefillah. And Rabbeinu Zal said that the concept of Sheboyaz Verus Husoid Smichas Geula LeTefillah, the concept of Boyaz and Rus, who got married to each other, they represent this concept of putting together, bringing together, Geula and Tefillah. Ki Boyaz hu bechinas goyel, because we know that Boyaz represents the concept of Geula, redemption. Kemoy shekosu, as the Pasuk says in Megillas Rus, ki goyel onoichi. Boyaz said about himself, I am the Redeemer. There it was talking about a whole situation that had arisen within the history of what was taking place there. And the word goyel is used about Boyaz. Verus, hi bechinas tefillah. Rus is, in English, known as Ruth. She is the symbol of tefillah. Kemoy shomer Hazal, as the Gemara says in Brochus, lomo nikro shemo Rus. Why was this great-grandmother of Dovid HaMelech called Rus? Sheyotzo mimeno Dovid, because there was going to come forth from her Dovid HaMelech, Sherivo laHakodesh Baruch Hu b'shirois v'tishbochos, who would sing to Hashem with songs and praises. So the word Riva, Rus, is Miloshen Riva, this verb Riva. So we see that Rus is the symbol of Tefillah. She is named because there would come forth from her one who would present the Tefillahs of Bnei Yisrael in the most outstanding way, the author of the Sefer Tehillim. V'hoyomuvan midvorov, Zecharin of Rocha, and it was apparent from Rabbeinu Zal's words, Shegila boze toiro gavoya, that he had revealed to this rabbi who he was speaking to, he gave him a very deep shir about this subject. Ach loy zochisi l'shoimo. However, Rav Nosson Zal writes, I was not privileged to hear the rest of that shir. But we just get an inkling as to what the subject is about, that it was regarding this topic of the mitzvah that the Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch says, the importance of putting together Goal Yisroel and the Shmon Esrei, and we see that there is an association between that and the symbolism in the Yichud between Boyaz and Rus. In the Megillah, in the story of Shavuos, the story that we lay on Shavuos, in the fact that Boyaz is known in the Torah as the Goyel over there, and Rus represents Tefillah. The union of Boaz and Rus is the smichus of Geula to Tefillah. Gam shomati b'shmoi, Rab Nosanzal writes, I also heard it said over in Rabbeinu Zal's name, she'omar oz, that Rabbeinu Zal commented at that time when he said this, she'kol ha'hasogois ha'gvoyois mo'oid shehu masik, that all the very, very deep items that Rabbeinu Zal is zeichet to achieve an understanding of, einoi oile etzloi, is zero to him, keneged eze dibur shehu megale b'fnei ha'olam, compared to when he has the zechus of revealing something to the public, to the general public. Ki b'chol dibur v'dibur shehu megale b'fnei ha'olam, because in every single shir that Rabbeinu Zal gave to the public, tluyim boi kol ha'olamois elyonim v'tachtoinim, they were dependent on those shiurim, the upper worlds and the lower worlds. All the different worlds in creation were all tied into the shiurim that Rabbeinu Zal revealed to his Talmidim. Pirish, Rav Nosson Zal explains here, ki af al pi shebevadai ha-hasogois sheloi she'enoi megale, heim givoyim alofim urevovois pomim b'li shir, keneged mashu megale b'fnei ho'ilom. Because even though it's certain that those things that Rabbeinu Zal himself learned and got to understand about Hashem and about the Torah, which he did not reveal in Shurim, those things were certainly on a much, 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 much higher level. They were much deeper than the things he did reveal, he did teach to his students. Because it's understand with Lahavdil, with any teacher that's teaching students about a subject, the level that he's presenting it to the students is usually not the level that he himself understands. He's giving them what they can perceive on their level based on the fact that they're learning this subject for a year or two, and he's been learning it for 20 years. Lahavdil, when we're dealing with tzaddikim, where a tzaddik has spent hundreds or thousands of hours davening to Hashem to be zeicha to deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper understandings in Torah, it's understood that that which he reveals to the public in his shurim or in his sforim is certainly not his own level of thought. It's a much, much lower level. He's giving them the highest that they can possibly understand, which in no way resembles what he understands, what the tzaddik himself understands. And Rabbeinu Zal said, still, kimavur mizeh b'mokim achar kama pomim, as is explained in other places in our writings many times, aval afal pikein, but still, ze einoi choshu v'yokor be'enov kol kach. That's not so special to him. Rabbeinu Zal said, the fact that he's zeichet to this super deep understandings of Torah and everything, that's not as special to him, ma'achar she'enoi mezake es Yisrael kol kach bozeh, since he's not benefiting Klal Yisrael with this. In other words, it's something that's benefiting himself to a large degree, but it's not something that the general public is benefiting from. Whereas v'ho'ikr hu etzloi, the main thing Rabbeinu Zal said to him was, kishe'o'ilam zeichen l'shmoya mimenu eze dibur, when the public has the privilege of hearing a shir from him, that's much, much more choshev to him. Ki b'chol dibur v'chulo kanal, because in every single word that he was zeichet to reveal publicly, that he was zeichet to teach to Bnei Yisrael, to those students that attached themselves to him, all the worlds were affected by it. Baruch Hashem. And this is a very, very important concept that Rabbeinu Zal is bringing across here regarding tzaddikim, for us to know. Because a person would say, there are many people, I've heard this statement made many times by people saying, I feel bad taking the time of a tzaddik. Now this tzaddik, certainly when he learns Torah, he's learning it on a level that's billions of times higher than any level I'm learning. So if I'm going to ask him a silly question about religion on my level, I could be wasting his time, because in the time that he's going to use to explain to me this item in baby level, he could be learning something infinitely deeper, and probably Hashem is getting much more nachas from that. And we see Rabbeinu Zal emphasizing here that when it comes to a tzaddik, when a tzaddik has the privilege of conveying Hasogas and Torah to the tzibur, that's much, much more choshuv to him than his own deep, deep Hasogas and Torah. Even though his own Hasogas are far greater, no question that there's no comparison at all, but still, if you put these two items on a scale, this is a much bigger nachas to Hashem, and this affects Klal Yisrael much more than the tzaddik's own hasogos. Now again, this is not a license for every Jew to start looking for the biggest tzaddikim in the world and start calling them and asking them, you know, is this kosher? Is chazer kosher or treif? Or, you know, those kind of questions. Obviously, there is some degree of discretion to be used. But at the same time, we have to understand that the time that a tzaddik spends with his students or with the tzibur is considered much more choshuv than the time he spends with himself, generally, usually. This is not to say that there are certain things that are accomplished when a tzaddik has his spiritus, when a tzaddik is davening or learning. There certainly is a lot being done, otherwise he wouldn't be doing it. Otherwise he would be dedicating his time only to dealing with the public. The fact is, we know that all tzaddikim do spend some time alone. But it's for us to understand and realize that there is a difference, a major difference, between when a tzaddik is zeicher to give a shir borabim, to teach Torah publicly, and how that affects all the heavenly worlds and everything else, versus the tzaddik's own personal hasogos in Torah. Period. Baruch Hashem. Next. Torah Kuf Gimel. This Torah is very short, but it gives us an insight as to what Rabbeinu Zal's perception was regarding tefillah. And you'll note that this level of understanding in terms of tefillah is not necessarily something that comes across everywhere. Rabbeinu Zal says, Bishas HaTefillah, during the time that a person is davening, Kol zman shehodom shomea oid eze odom, as long as the person still hears somebody else, let's say a person is davening in a shul and there's 9 other people there or 9,000 other people there, as long as you still hear another person in the room, dahainu sheshomea umargish sheoimed oid odom echod b'shas tfilosoi, meaning that the person either hears or is aware of the presence of another person in the room who loy toiv. That's not considered really good in terms of tefillah. Ki tzorech kol odom b'shas tefilosoi, because a person at the time that they're davening is required sheyitzayer b'daitoi she'ein shom elo ani v'ashem yisporach levad. The person has to be able to focus their attention in such a way where they block out everything else in existence. Nothing else whatsoever exists at the time that I'm davening other than Hashem and me, period. Even if I'm in a room with 100 other people or 1,000 other people, I'm concentrating, I'm focusing my concentration to such a degree only on Hashem that I don't hear, I don't see, I don't know of anybody else being present in the room at the time. This is one level in terms of tefillah. Now Rav Nosson Zal writes, Ubemaymar Abu Shol, in a different chapter on Likutei Moran, which is entitled Abu Shol Omar Pam Echod Ratzti Achar Tzvi B'Simen Nun Hei, that's chapter 55 in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph. Shom Mavur Bitl Godol Yoiser B'Shas HaTfila. There, Rabbeinu Zal even discusses a higher level of bitul in tefillah, meaning Shemachuyev Ha'odom Levatel Atzmoi Kol Kach B'Shas HaTfila. Over there, Rabbeinu Zal discusses a concept of a person blanking themselves out so much in tefillah, a person nullifying themselves to such a point, ad shelo yargish afilu es atzmoi klal b'shas tefilosoi, to the point where the person isn't even aware of themselves during tefillah. I black out my own presence even during the tefillah. Meaning, if I have a toe that's hurting me, if my jacket is crooked, if this, my mind and my attention is so locked into Hashem at the time of tefillah that I don't even exist at the time of tefillah. It's simply that I'm speaking, and it's a concept of Shechina medaberes mitoich groinoi. The Gemara says that tzaddikim, when they speak divrei Torah, or when they daven, it's not that he's a person, and there's Hashem, and there's this individual, and this individual is speaking. It's not like that. These tzaddikim, when they study Torah or when they daven, they achieve such a kesher with Hashem, such a bond with Hashem, where they become literally one with Hashem. They merge. The neshama merges with Hashem to such a degree that kaviyochel, it's as if Hashem is davening to himself. Like when we say in the beginning of Shmon Esrei, Hashem sefosai tiftoch ufi yagit hilosecho. Hashem, you open my lips and allow my mouth to speak your praises. What do we mean, Hashem sefosai tiftoch? What does that mean, literally? I need Hashem to physically pry open my lips? Baloney, that's not what we're talking about. We mean that I want Hashem to give me the words to say. Kaviyochel, Hashem should pour down from heaven words into my mouth, into my mind, into my heart, that I should know how to speak with Hashem. What words to say that would find favor most in Hashem's eyes? What words would be most pleasing to Hashem? Who can give me that? The answer is Hashem himself. Just as we say in the Tefillah, Nuvol Tzion, we say, Hu yiftach libeinu b'sayrosoi, may Hashem open up our hearts with his Torah, v'yosem b'libeinu ahavosoi v'yirosoi, and may Hashem place inside our hearts love for him and fear for him. What do you mean? We mean very, very simple, that kaviyochel, by Hashem there exists jugs of ahavas Hashem and yiras Hashem, not in a physical sense, naturally. And these are things which Hashem possesses, and Hashem is in a position to put it inside a person or not to put it in there, to grant it to a person or not to grant it to them. And the whole bond with Hashem, between a Jew and Hashem, again, it's Hashem who's in a position to give the person the qualities that the person needs and the characteristics and everything that sets that person up to be a perfect merge with Hashem, a perfect mix with Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zalveir in that chapter discusses a level of bitul in tefillah where a person closes their mind completely to everybody else in the room and even to themselves. It's only words that are coming out of my mouth. I don't even exist in a sense. It's as if the words are coming directly from Hashem to Hashem. I've nullified myself completely. I'm not thinking of my body, of my shoes, of my jacket, of whether it's hot in the room, cold in the room, of whether somebody's pushing me. I've lifted my mind off from Olam Hazeh completely. I've detached myself, not just from everything around me in the room, but even from myself, from my own physical existence. I've detached myself, and I only exist in terms of the words that I'm saying. That's all that exists for me at that point in time. Nothing else. I'm not conscious of my body, of the room, of my shoes, of anything like that. Rak is Hashem Yisporach Levad. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, Shemachuyev Otom Levatel Atzmai Kol Kach B'Shas HaTfila. A Jew is required to nullify themselves to such an extent during tefillah, Ad Shelo Yargish Afilu Es Atzmai Klal B'Shas Tfilosoi, to the point where the person is not even aware of their own physical presence during tefillah. Rak is Hashem Yisporach Levadoi. Only Hashem, period. Ki Oz B'shas ha'tfilo, ha'odom oimeid b'heichal ha'melech. Rabbi Nizal explains over there in that chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Nun Hei, that when a person is davening, where are you standing at the time that you're davening? Are you standing in Har Nof? Are you standing in Yerushalayim? No. The Gemara says, and the Shulchan Aruch brings this, that when a Jew starts the Shmon Esrei, when you take those three steps back, when you're saying, before Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, what does that represent, those three steps back? That's an exit. Exit stage backwards. You're exiting out of this world, literally. You're leaving this world, and when you take the three steps forward, right before you're about to start the Shmon Esrei, those three steps are bringing you into the Heichal HaMelech, into the throne room of Hashem, Kavyochel. Physically? No. Spiritually? Yes, definitely. And if a Jew really believes it, and if a Jew really concentrates on that, that I believe, Be'emunah Shleimah, that if the Torah says, if Hashem says, that in following this formula of taking these three steps back in this point in time, after having said Karbonos and Psukei Dezimra and Shema and all of this, and after wearing a talis and tefillin, or a woman after being dressed properly and doing what she has to do, if a Jew believes that in taking those three steps backward, their neshama is taking leave of this world completely, and in taking the three steps forward, the person is entering literally into the Olam HaAtzilus, the throne room of Hashem, then that's exactly what takes place at that time. In fact, the Arizal says that's why we begin the Shmon Esrei with that word, Hashem Sefosai Tiftoch. Which name of Hashem do we use there? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is Bigimatria Heichal. Heichal means the palace, the throne room of Hashem. This is telling us that that's what we're doing now. We're taking leave of one place and entering into another place. And therefore, Ayin Shomas Shekosav Shambo Isvov, Rav Nosson writes, take a look at what's written over there in chapter 6 in Torah Nun Hei, where Rabbi Nazal says, Mihu. If I'm standing in the throne room of Hashem, who am I? What am I? Halo Yeshusai Nizbatel. I become zero. I melt into nothing when I'm standing literally in front of Hashem. Because Rabbi Nazal says over there, it's the nature when a small person, let's say you have a person who has $50,000. This person is standing among his friends. He has a certain degree of arrogance. He feels like a somebody. What kind of somebody? He's somebody bigger than another guy who's got $5,000 or who's got 5 cents. Certainly, he's a somebody to the extent that he's got $50,000. This somebody, put him in front of somebody else that has $30 million. Put him in front of somebody else that has 12 cars compared to his one fancy little car that he has. Next to that person, he feels like a nobody, like a nothing. This is Begashmius. Lahavdil, if we're talking in terms of Hashem, if a person stops to think for 1 second of the difference between Hashem and us, how many billions and zillions and an infinite number of times Hashem is greater than us in every way possible, then if I picture myself literally standing right in front of Hashem in the same room as Hashem, I become nothing. I become non-entity, non-existent, ayin, zero. And I literally become botel to Hashem. In other words, compared to Hashem's presence in the room, I do not exist. I cease to exist, literally. And that the Ein Kan Elo HaMelech Bi'atzmoi. And therefore, the only one that's in the room at the time is the king himself, Hashem himself. Ayin Shom. Take a look over there in that chapter, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses that concept. So note, we have two different concepts in Tefillah that are being presented by Rabbeinu Zal. These are obviously two different levels for a Jew to strive for. There's one thing that Rabbeinu Zal says here, that in terms of kavona in tefillah, which is discussed in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Zohar HaKadosh says that a tefillah without kavona is like a goof without a neshama. A goof without a neshama, can it walk? Can it move? Can it do anything? Zero. It's as good as dead. So too, in a sense, so too, to a degree, is a tefillah without kavona. Now Rabbeinu Zal is giving us some insights as to what's the true definition of kavona, what levels of kavona a Jew can possibly attain. There's one level of kavona where you're concentrating enough on what you're saying and what you're doing, where you definitely do not know any more of anybody else's presence in the room whatsoever. If somebody else would walk into the room, a door opens and it would creak at everything, you wouldn't hear it because you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, or you're in the middle of Shema, you're in the middle of Baruch Shomar, and all of your brain power, all of your consciousness is locked into what you're saying. So there isn't any left over to be aware of the door opening, the person going out, or any of that kind of stuff. Period. That's one level of kavona in tefillah that a Jew must strive for. And if a Jew is not holding by that, then by being made aware that it's possible to get to such a madrega, now I know what to ask Hashem for. I want to be zeichet to tefillah bekavona to such a degree that when I daven, I should not feel anybody else's presence in the room. Because there are people who, if they're in a room with 10 people or 30 people or 300 people, and a person is walking or coughing or sneezing or jumping or whatever it is, it can be mevalvel their tefillah. It can disturb their tefillah. Rabbeinu Zal says, a Jew has to be a superman. A Jew has to strive to be a superman to the extent that he's capable of turning it on, of flicking a switch inside, and suddenly the brain is focused to exactly where you want it to be. It's like a horse with reins on it, and you direct it exactly where you want it to go. You don't want it to go over there, it doesn't go over there. You don't want it to be looking or listening or feeling any presence other than yourself, then that's what it's tied into, period. That's one level. And then Rav Nosson Zal reminds us that in a different chapter in Likut Imran, Rabbeinu Zal discussed a still higher level where a person has such a degree of emunah in Hashem. A person actually believes Hashem's presence is right with him at that point to such an extent that the person actually even nullifies themselves. A person says, if Hashem's in the room and I'm in the room, it's as if I'm not in the room. It's as if there's only Hashem in the room. And if I'm speaking now, where are the words coming from anyway? Where does anything I have come from? Where does my money come from? Where does my vision come from? Where does my breathing power come from? Everything comes from Hashem anyway. So anything that I'm doing, if I'm speaking now, in a sense, it's not me who's speaking, it's Hashem who's speaking. Just as we have this expression in the Gemara of Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Groinoi. The Gemara says there's a concept of a tzaddik where words are coming from his throat and it's not him speaking. Kaviyochol, it's Hashem himself speaking through the throat of this tzaddik. That's the type of levels that tzaddikim are zeichet to achieve in tefillah. This level of kavona, this level of bitul hayeshus, where a person is zeichet to work on himself, to humble himself to an extent where he can say, I'm nothing and I feel like nothing, and I'm able literally to make my mind be trained to be aware of that to such an extent that I don't feel my own presence at all. Therefore, I can't be bothered. It can't be mevalvel me if my foot hurts, my head hurts, my stomach, somebody's pushed, nothing. The body is not in the picture whatsoever. When I'm involved in Avodas Hashem, especially in tefillah, which is called dveikus, Rabbeinu Zal mentioned in another chapter in Likut Imran that the word tefillah in Hebrew means dveikus. Rabbeinu Zal brings proof from Naftali. If you look in the Chumash, when Naftali was born, and Leah gave him that name, Naftali, Rashi HaKadosh over there has like 5-6 pshutim as to what Naftali means. And one of the terms there is referring to dveikus, miloshin tefillah, Rashi HaKadosh says over there, which is an Indian of dveikus. Dveikus means attachment, merging with Hashem to such an extent where if you get merged with Hashem properly, you become nullified to Hashem. It becomes only Hashem and not you anymore. And that's perfection in a sense. That's perfection in kavona in tefillah. Baruch Hashem. Just a short note, there are stories regarding Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim who were tzaddikim of this caliber. One of Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim, it's written, was once in a house, and he was davening Shmoneh Esrei, and a fire broke out in the house, and people were yelling and screaming, fire, fire, and he didn't know from any fire. And the end was that they had to pick him up with his feet together, they had to carry him out of the house and put him down a distance away from the house, because it wasn't possible to interrupt him in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Very simple. His mind was so locked into what he was doing, there didn't exist an option of opening it up, of breaking his consciousness for anything whatsoever until he was finished with his Shmoneh Esrei. Sounds silly, sounds ridiculous, baloney. We know you take kids, lahavdil, I've seen it on the most infantile level. You take a kid that's watching something that's very captivating. Lahavdil, let's say something like that. We don't try avoid to use that. Watching something that's very, very captivating, and you tap the kid on the shoulder at that time, he has no idea that you're tapping him. You say hello, he didn't hear the word hello at all. Why? Because his small sechel, it's possible for his small sechel to get locked onto something to such an extent where it's locked, it's stuck. And in order to shake him off it, you got to take him and really shake him, or yell, or do something to really disturb his attention. So we see that such a thing definitely is possible, even for little kids. Al achas kama v'kama for an adult. What does it take? It takes emunah. And it takes a certain degree of seriousness to know that in tefillah, we're not playing around. This isn't for babies, it's for adults, and it's for people who really believe that there is a Hashem, and that if you knew that you were being given an audience, not with Joe Schmo, not with some president of a country, not with a king of 200 million people, but you were being given an audience with Hashem, the Melech Malchei Amlochem HaKodesh Baruch Hu, who created everything and who knows everything and who sees... If you knew that you had 15 minutes to speak to somebody like that, it wouldn't really be a problem concentrating. It would be very difficult for something to disturb you at that point in time. Why don't we feel it again? Because our emunah is on a very small level. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal stressed so much ho ikar hi ho emunah, that a Jew has to know that when it comes to emunah, there are millions of levels. No two people are on the same level in terms of emunah, and a person themselves is not necessarily on the same level 9 o'clock in the morning as they are at 10 o'clock in the morning. And a Jew has to feel a desire to want to grow in emunah, to know that this is something that each and every single day I want to climb a little bit more on my own level to become more and more aware and believing of the presence of Hashem, of the truthfulness of the Torah, and of all items pertaining to Yiddishkeit.
2 questions. We learned elsewhere the concept of focusing all your koyach in tefillah. Whereas here it seems Rabbeinu Zal saying, forget the body and just like concentrate the mind. Is that different? Does that lead up to that?
Or? It's two different items. What you're talking about, I think, is the concept of kol atzmoisai toimarno. That when a person is davening, a person is supposed to be using power in tefillah. What power? Every single organ of your body, in other words, the energy within a person, is distributed over every part of the body. We know that the nervous system extends to all parts of the body, the fingers, the toes, everything. Rabbeinu Zal says in one place that when a Jew is davening, Dovid HaMelech reveals to us one of the ingredients that's needed in tefillah. That when you're davening, the feelings, the mamoshius, and the koyach of every single aver has to be merged together and focused into the tefillah. So that at a time that a person's davening, again, we know that let's say a person wants to pick up something. Let's say a person is capable of picking up 100-pound weight. This is this person's capability. That's his maximum. What if he wants to pick up 120 pounds? Is it possible? Yes. However, if he wanted to pick up just 100 pounds, he's got to use the energy in his arms. Arms meaning his hands, lower hand, forearm, shoulder, up until the whole arm. If he'll use all the energy in there, he can lift up 100 pounds. What if he wants to go to 120, 130? Then he has to, in 1 second, push, explode the energy in every part of his body, feet, toes, stomach, in one shot, boom, explode every part of the body, he'll find he can lift up 1.5 times or double as much as if he was just exerting the energy from some of the Evorim. In that extent, we have the same thing in Tefillah also, in terms of focusing and concentrating energy and Baruchnius and Begashmius from all the Evorim in your body into the Tefillah. That's this concept that Dovra Melech said, Kol Atzmoisai Toimarno Hashem Mi Kamoicha. That when I sing the praises of Hashem, I don't just do it with my lips or with my heart or with my brain. Every single organ of my body is included in the Tefillah. That's one item. It seems that in this Torah, Rabbeinu Zal is dealing specifically with the brain. And to what degree is the brain committed? To such a degree that the brain would not be conscious, the brain and heart would not know that anything else exists at the time other than me and Hashem. Or a still higher level, other than Hashem only, not even me.
So, is it a totem pole? Would that be a level lower?
No, it seems it's both. You know, they're A and B, and you could have one without the other in a sense. It seems that you could be concentrating your mind 100% and yet not including all your Evorim, or you could be including all your Evorim and yet your concentration of your mind is not so locked in where it's not conscious of anything else, or both together. It seems that a person could have either one without the other, or a person could be zeicha to both, which is the tachlis. I'm just saying it on a level of understanding.
And to the level where you could forget about your body, wouldn't you have had to arouse every part of your body to the point where it's not where it can become negligible?
Now, I'm asking you a question. When a child is watching something that has captivated his attention completely, where you tap him on the shoulder, he doesn't know that you... Are his feet and arms and stomach included in that item? Not necessarily.
What's the difference? One is prevention and one is active.
Exactly. Okay, so that's the point that I'm making. The issue of Kol Atzmoisai Toimarna, I believe, is emphasizing this union of active attention. That every part of your body has to be playing an active role within your tefillah. You're including it, you're tying the whole body up, and including it within the tefillah. That's one. The answer is that's one example of it. The concept of a yid shaking in tefillah is one example where the body is also included. Narrowly kim nishmas adam. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the neshama is compared to a candle. Just like on a candle, you note, does the fire stand still? No, it shakes back and forth a little. So too, the neshama of a Jew. If a Jew has a neshama, the neshama also arouses the person to move during tefillah. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was such a live wire, Rabbi Akiva's neshama was so vibrant, so alive, that when he would start davening, he would start davening in one corner of the shul and he would end up in the other corner of the shul. Not because he would go for a walk, because his neshama was so alive and burning fire during the tefillah that it caused him to move. In other words, it was the fire in him that caused him to move around in a sense. Now what we're saying is that there is a concept of a person including, literally at the time that you're davening, having a desire, a rotzon, that I want every part of my body, I want the chiyus in every part of my body to be merged into the tefillah. And I'll show it to you on a halacha level. The Gemara says when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, that if a Jew, chas v'shalom, cuts off a finger or any aver of the body on Shabbos, you're chayev. You're chayev skila if you do it b'mezid b'asro, etc. What are you chayev for? What's the isur that you broke? The Gemara says netilas neshama. You're chayev for taking out, removing the neshama. Are you talking about removing the neshama in my finger? Yes, the Gemara says yes. Each and every single aver of the body, even though we know that the neshama's main location within the body, it's centrally located within the brain, shehaneshama shebamoichi, that's the main location for the neshama within the body, still, to some degree, there exists a presence of the neshama distributed throughout all the different evorim of the body. And therefore, in cutting off one of the evorim in the body, we're actually cutting off, taking away a piece of the neshama, in a sense, from that person. An inyan of netilas neshama. So that I'm being told that the neshama, which is the chiyus of a person, is to a degree distributed throughout the body. At the time that I'm davening, when I'm davening, I want my entire neshama to be involved and included in the tefillah. It's a matter of a certain consciousness of the mind that I'm being mekasher every part of my body in the tefillah. During Shemoneh Esrei, for example, your feet have to be a certain way. Your hands have to be a certain way. Your eyes have to be a certain way. Your head has to be tilted a certain way. Every part of your body is playing a role, an involvement in the tefillah. In Shemoneh Esrei, from head to toe, the Torah describes exactly what each and every single part of your body's participation is in the Shemoneh Esrei. We're going to learn those halachas. You'll see exactly where it says it. Because during, you would be chayef for something else. Because on Shabbos, there's an isur of netilas neshama. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to kill somebody. If you kill somebody, it's called netilas neshama. So we're saying that even if chas v'shalom a person removes one organ of the body, that's also called netilas neshama. But what do you mean? He's still alive. The answer is every aver of the body is considered to have a piece of the neshama in it, in a sense. A certain chiyus in it. And when you're davening, you want to include that chiyus, every iota of chiyus that's in me, I want to include it into the tefillah. Rabbi Nezal brings in a chapter on Likutei Moran that in Torah Tes, on Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, I believe, there Rabbi Nezal says that the ikar chiyus of a person is from tefillah, and therefore, ubishvil zeh, tzorech lehispalel b'kol koichoi. Since the main chiyus of a person, the main source of life, of spiritual life of a person is from tefillah, as the pasuk says, tefillah lokel, Chayoi, that my chiyus comes from my tefillah Hashem. Therefore, Rabbi Nezal says a Jew has to see to it to daven with all his power. Why? Ki kishem espalel b'chol koichoi umachnis koichoi b'yoseis ha-tefillah. When a person davens with all his power and he puts all his power into the words of the tefillah, azay nischadesh koichoi shom. Then all the energy, all the chiyus in every part of my body becomes refreshed. It gets a hischatshus through my tefillah. It gets a spiritual rejuvenation in my tefillah by its playing a part in the tefillah. So again, it's a matter of a consciousness. Halacha, person's davening, learning. You're not allowed to scratch your head with your hands. Why? Because your hands are involved in the learning Torah. Your feet, your hands aren't allowed to be a certain way, you're not supposed to cross your fingers, all kinds of other things, so that every part of your body is playing a role in involvement with the tefillah, with the Torah.
It would seem that this might give a personal license. Let's say if Sargasha is strong enough, he's totally oblivious of anything else going on to, let's say, to scream or do other things that might be disturbing to other people in the shul. How can we reconcile that you really should not be disturbing other people, but if you're so totally involved.
Good question. The answer is this is where a person's good character comes into play. If a person's a nut, or if a person is selfish, or if a person is arrogant, then the moment that person blocks out, the person can go nuts. Person can do capable of doing all kinds of crazy things. But if a person is in control of themselves normally, and if a person is rational, then even when involved in such bitul, a person would not be doing anything to harm anybody else or to disturb anybody else's tefillah. Especially since the pasuk says, Divrei chachomim benachas nishmoim, and the Targum Yonason says on that pasuk, Mili detzloiso dechakimaya, Benichusa, that the tefillah of a chacham, of an intelligent person, is with a certain degree of containment. Well, it's not just stam yelling where he's disturbing everybody around him, but where it's done in a way where number one, it's tefillah bekoyach and bekoil, but not to the extent that he thinks his tefillah is so good that it's worth zapping somebody else's tefillah for his tefillah to go through a little better. It's worth hurting somebody else's kavanah or messing somebody else up for his own tefillah.
We also learned elsewhere that there's a concept of achmara liba bayi, that Hashem only wants like a person's ratzon. In other words, with his tefillah ani could be even higher than all of these different things. And then we also learned that a person shouldn't, like crying is great, but a person shouldn't force himself to cry.
Right.
So we're learning all these like high levels of tefillah. If a person wants to daven correctly, should he try and like concentrate on these higher things, or just like the achmara liba bayi?
Both. This point of Rachmona Liba Boy, that Hashem wants the heart, that the main thing is the heart of a person, heart meaning the kavona of the person, that a person's intent should be sincere. Here again, even when it comes to these things, what's your motive for doing it? What's the person's motive? If the motive is to give a nachas ruach to his creator, then it's good. Then it's pshit, then it's still tmimus and pshitas and it's kosher and it's good and great. If a person's motive is for any personal satisfaction, I want to get to a point where I can feel what this is like because I know that that's a personal high. That's going to give me a personal high. That's treif. There, a person's doing it for himself. The point is here that the whole concept of tefillah is supposed to be a kovoy to Hashem. It's giving kavod Hashem. The whole concept of nullifying yourself is so that in doing that, I'm raising Hashem's kavod. If two people are in a room, the Gemara says this. It's brought in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch that let's say a person is in a room with a tzaddik, with a Talmud Chacham. At times, it could be disrespectful to take out a sefer, let's say, and just start learning yourself in front of him. Why? Because if you're in the presence of such an Odom Godel, so great a person, you don't go ahead and just start learning yourself. Unless he tells you to, or you know he would want you to, that's a different story. But other than that, the fact that this person is present in the room, you're supposed to be just conscious of his presence. You're not doing your own thing. When you're alone in the room with Hashem, there's a mitzvah to learn, to do whatever you want. The second this person comes into the room, everything stops and is overridden by this person's presence in the room. So to hear this concept of bitul to Hashem, where a person is zeicha to become aware of Hashem's presence at the time of tefillah, to such an extent where you're mevatel yourself. But again, the way to get to this is through tmimus and pshitus. This isn't, in other words, the way to get to this is by trying to be as simple as possible. This doesn't take intellectual heights. This takes simplicity, humbleness. Because a person can be zeicha to these madrigas without any wild gyrations, just by through simple emunah, as is known. I gave you the example of a kid. You see here, a child has an advantage in a sense over an adult. By a child, we see this level of concentration is more shchiach than by an adult, where the child gets locked into something and then to break his attention, it's Kriyas Yamsuf. You know. Torah Kuf Dalid. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Hoyo oyhev ma'oid es hoavoidois hapshutois shel stam b'nei odom. Rabbeinu Zal loved very, very much the simple service of Hashem of these simple people, stam b'nei odom, hu anoshim hapshutim haksherim, the simple religious people. Rabbeinu Zal loved that very, very much. Now, this is not to say that Rabbeinu Zal himself wasn't a fantastic Talmud Chacham and Go'in, and it's not to say that some of his Talmidim weren't the greatest giants in learning in the world. Proof is, take a look at the Sforim. Any Jew opens up a Likutei Halachos, or those Sforim, you show me another sefer, you show me somebody that was smarter, that was brighter, that had deeper insights into the Shulchan Aruch, into Shas, into Mitzvot, than Rav Nosson Zal. Be very, very difficult to find. But yet, Rabbeinu Zal says, that's special in its way. At the same time, Rabbeinu Zal also loved very, very, very much the avoides hapshutois of the simple folk. V'hoyo oyhev ma'oid מי שיוכל לא ימר אחר בית חינו איסו בקושו איס בתויך הסידורים הגדולים כדרך ההמוין עם הקשרים. רבינו זל loved very, very much those people that were capable of saying the tefillos that are found in these large sidurim. It was more common in those days, these large sidurim that have a lot of tchinos in Yiddish in them, that people in those days, the simple people who weren't necessarily capable of learning Gemara or learning Kabbalah, etc., and they would spend an hour or two a day saying these tchinos, these tefillos to Hashem in Yiddish, which they were able to understand more easily than they understood the Hebrew. Rabbeinu Zal loved that very, very much. Rabbeinu Zal warned us and reprimanded us many, many times, lezamer zmirois b'Shabbos, to make sure to sing all the zmirois on Shabbos. V'hoyo makbid v'koyes ma'oid al mi shehoyo chochom be'enov ve'enoy mis'ameitz lezamer zmirois b'Shabbos u'b'moitzoy Shabbos. Every word here is a bomb. You have to pay attention to every single word here. Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal was makbid, the koyes. He would get very angry, and he was very particular about a person who thought that they were smart, chochom b'einav. He thought like he was too big or too smart, or it was beneath him. Ve'einoy mis'ameitz, and he didn't force himself lezamer zmirois b'Shabbos, to sing the Zmirois on Shabbos, meaning there are some times that it takes an effort. A person's a yo-yo, a person's a dummy, and a dummy sometimes sitting at the table in the middle of eating and talking, and it's hard for me to start singing all of these Zmirois. And Rabbeinu Zal did not accept that. Rabbeinu Zal considered that avodah of singing Zmirus on Shabbos as being so important and so critical in terms of being Shomer Shabbos that there's no excuses for this. There's nothing is what's acceptable here is that you make it your business to make sure that you take out the time and the effort to sing loud, clearly, every single one of the Zmirus on Shabbos. That's how choshuv an item this is. That's how special an avodah this is. On Shabbos, u'b'moitzoy Shabbos, including the fourth meal of Shabbos, which is Malava Malka. Then also, the Zmirus is very, very important. Oishar avoidas pshutos, or other simple acts of avoidas Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal would get very angry if he saw somebody that wasn't taking those things as seriously as they should. Ki ikar hayahadus hu bepshitus u betmimus gomor b'li shum chochmos. Because, Rabbeinu Zal says, in terms of religion, the most important aspects of religion are the simplicity and the sincerity, 100% simplicity and sincerity, b'li shum chochmos, without any smarts, without any deep thinking, simply a servant serving their king with the utmost of simplicity, sincerity, and straightness, nothing else. Kimavur etzleinu kamo kvar kamo ponim, as is explained in many, many places throughout Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, that this was his main stress, that the biggest nachas that Hashem gets from a Jew is when a Jew has brains and is smart and is learned and is intellectual and is capable of turning it all off completely when serving Hashem. That when I stand before Hashem, who am I? I am nobody. I am nothing. I am zero. And when I do a mitzvah before Hashem, I do it like a nobody, like a nothing, like a simple, simple thing. Just as the Arizal says, who is smarter than you? You want to talk intellectualism? Open up an Eitz Chaim and see if you get past the second line, and then we'll talk about intellectualism. The Eitz Chaim, which is the Kisvei Arizal, one line in there is more difficult than a whole Masechta in Shas. That's how deep the Kisvei Arizal are, the Sifrei Kabbalah, to learn. The Arizal says that when a person is about to daven the Shmoneh Esrei, what's the most important preparation that a Jew has to make to prep themselves for going into the Shmon Esrei the right way? The Arizal says in the paragraph Ezra Savoisenu, over there, one of the praises that we say about Hashem is we say that Hashem is Oizer Dalin. Now, in Hebrew, we know that there are many different words that mean a poor person. Oni, an Oni is a poor person. An Evyoin is a poor person. What else? A Dal is a poor person. What else? A Rosh Reishin is also a poor person. The Sforim HaKadoshim say that out of all of these Hebrew words that apply to a poor person, Dal means the poorest of the poor. Zero, a person who has nothing of nothing. Right before we begin the Shmon Esrei, in one of the sentences there, one of the praises that we say of Hashem is that Hashem is Oizer Dalim. Hashem helps the poor, the super poor, the Oine La'amo Yisroel Be'ez Shavom Elov. And Hashem responds to the Jewish nation when they call out to Him. The Arizal says, what's going to guarantee that Hashem is going to respond to you when you call out to Him? If you say these words, Oizer Dalim, about yourself, if you put yourself in that frame of mind, that when you're about to begin the Shmon Esrei, who am I? My name is Mr. or Mrs. Dal. I am nobody of nothing. That's who I am. And that's how I'm coming before Hashem, like the smallest nothing that could possibly exist. That's the type of respect that I want to give to Hashem. That's the type of humbleness with which I want to present my case before Hashem. If a Jew does that, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Im laleitzim hu yolutz v'la'anovim yitein chein. That if a person wants to come to Hashem like a wise guy, Hashem responds with wiseness also, and Hashem can easily outwise anybody. V'la'anovim, and a person who comes to Hashem with an attitude of modesty, humbleness, yitein chein. Hashem gives that person a chein, a charm, where when that person comes to ask for something, those that are in a position to grant it are very receptive to that person's request and more than willing to satisfy it, to grant that person, to give that person whatever they're asking for, whatever they need. V'gam hu ba'atzmoy zal, and Rav Nosson Zal writes here testimony about Rabbeinu Zal himself, with all his deep knowledge of Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, secrets of Torah and everything, koidim shehigiyaloi hachalas hakoved shenestalik al yodoi, before Rabbeinu Zal became ill with tuberculosis, the last 3 years of Rabbeinu Zal's life, we know that he was very, very sick, and he had to watch himself tremendously. If he would raise his voice, he would start coughing up blood, so he had to watch himself. Koidim lazeh, until then, kol yomov, his entire life, hoyemezamer zmirois harbe, b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos u'b'moitzoi Shabbos. Rabbeinu Zal used to sing a lot of zmirois on Shabbos, throughout the Shabbos, and on Moitzoi Shabbos. He was very makbid in this. Even though he was so great a Talmud Chochem and a Goyin and a Tzaddik, this was the thing that he keyed in on as being, in a sense, most important. These avoidas pshutos, these simple avoidas that a Jew is zeichet to do for Hashem, which don't involve great depth and great wisdom, but show a person's love for Hashem and respect for Hashem, these were the things that Rabbeinu Zal stressed and went big on. Baruch Hashem. We'll hold it over here.